It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
And today's episode is going to be devoted entirely to previewing the upcoming Imperial Veterans expansion pack.
We got new updates to the TIE Bomber and TIE Defender, so let's get to it.
So Carson, earlier this week, Fantasy Flight released yet another preview for the Imperial Veterans expansion pack. A couple weeks ago, they had released one focusing in on the new bombers, and this week they focused in on the new defenders coming in this pack.
Right, and some of the stuff we've seen before.
Like, specifically the titles for the defenders. We've seen the TIE X7 title and the TIE D title, but we'll cover those real quick here in case you guys haven't heard.
So for our defenders, we have the TIE X7 title. This is a -2 point title that on your upgrade bar, lose your cannon and missile upgrade icons. And then after you execute a 3, 4, or 5 speed maneuver, you may assign 1 evade token to your ship.
That's an important designation there that you're just assigning an evade token, because one of the problems defenders have is when they get stressed, they don't have a good way of unstressing themselves, so they can't take actions when they're stressed. While this title allows you to actually assign that evade token even if you perform a maneuver while stressed.
Well, and the defender doesn't have an evade action, so this also just opens up another action. And with 3 agility, that evade token is pretty huge. You want to make sure your defenders aren't taking any damage.
And when you're looking at that TIE Defender dial, it actually has a pretty strong dial, and all of its 3 maneuvers are white, along with its 4-straight and 5-straight.
The really weak point in the Defender dial is its 1 and 2 maneuvers, particularly the 1 and 2 turns being red. So you really don't want to be taking those slow maneuvers that often. You're usually taking your 3 or 4 speed maneuvers.
It really plays to the strengths of the TIE Defender's dial.
And now, that point reduction is huge because that puts the defender back on that efficient cost range there.
Yeah, I think definitely most people would agree that the TIE Defender was a little overcosted when it was first released, and that's probably the main reason it hasn't seen a lot of competitive play.
Right. I mean, it has a stat line that when it was released, there was nothing that was even close to that efficient of a stat line, and the game makers conservatively costed it a little high.
But then we've seen other ships at near point costs that are much better in the stat line, like the Aggressor.
Right, the Aggressor is like the same stat line, just +1 on all those stats.
So that was a good new title there. We've also got the TIE D title, which is pretty cool. Once per round after you perform a cannon attack, you can then perform a primary weapon attack.
And now this is my favorite title. The TIE 7 is very efficient, but the TIE D just seems like it's got a lot more interesting list building that you can do with that.
Right. It does limit the cannon shot to being a cannon that costs 3 or lower, so you can't pair up like a heavy laser cannon or a mangler cannon, but you do have 3 other cannons to choose from.
So you have the ion cannon, the flechette cannon, and now the new tractor beam cannon. So the interesting thing about all of those cannons is that they're control cannons. The ion cannon's giving ion tokens, or just one, and the flechette cannon gives a stress token, and the tractor beam moves the ship and reduces agility.
Well, and these cannons are really low point cost. The ion cannon is the most expensive at 3, but a flechette cannon's only 2 points, and a tractor beam's only 1, albeit that the tractor beam doesn't do any damage when it hits. It just assigns that tractor token. But combined with this TIE D title, where you're also taking a primary weapon attack, that can be a pretty potent combination, even if you're just using a flechette or an ion cannon to deal 1 damage and then some sort of control element.
Right, and the reason you don't see ion cannon and flechette cannon that often, and I don't really think tractor beam is that good either, is you don't get to do damage. Like, yes, they have good control elements, but you're not really doing damage. Ion cannon and flechette cannon, you're doing max 1 damage, and tractor beam doesn't do damage. But when you compare it with the TIE D title, then you also get to do your 3 die primary attack. So you're getting the control bonus plus your primary weapon attack. That's a huge amount of damage, plus still having that control element.
Yeah, one of the problems that we've seen with the cannons, I think ever since they first premiered, I believe in Wave 3, is that most of the ships that can take the cannon upgrade already have a very strong primary weapon attack, like the B-Wing and the Shuttle initially, and then moving forward, the TIE Defender had a really strong primary weapon attack, the Aggressor does, etc. So there's not really been a reason to sacrifice that damage output with your primary for the sake of the cannon, but the TIE D title completely flips that over and doesn't penalize you for taking this cannon.
This is a unique mix of control and damage that we haven't seen yet in the game.
So I'm interested to see how that's going to play in, especially in the competitive scene. These two most recent previews, the one focusing on the bombers and then this week's preview focusing on the Defender, showed us a lot of new pilot cards for the Defender and the Bomber. So I think we should start with the Defender cards because I think those are the most interesting to me.
So we have the Glaive Squadron pilot, a new generic at pilot skill 6 with an elite pilot talent slot and costing 34 points.
Which comes in just 2 points over the pilot skill 3 Defender, while you're gaining 3 points of pilot skill and an elite pilot talent slot for that cost, which is a pretty good deal, I think, overall.
This looks like a pretty efficient body. That elite pilot talent slot is pretty interesting. And then now with those two new titles, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, so you could even throw a pair of these guys into a list, throw maybe adaptability on as an EPT and combine them with that TIE X7. So they're coming in at just 32 points each. You go a 3, 4, or 5 speed maneuver and you get that free evade token, and you're shooting at maybe a 7.
Although, Tim, the main reason we might not see too many Glaive Squadrons on the table is there's a lot of good options around the same price point.
Yeah, you have another named pilot for the Defender. This one comes in at pilot skill 5, but the same cost as the Glaive Squadron at 34 points. Countess Riad is a TIE Defender that has the pilot ability. When you reveal a straight maneuver, you may treat it as a K-turn.
And so this is a nice ability. It makes me think of IGD's ability with that same, when you reveal your dial maneuver, you get to change it. And having that flexibility of deciding, in this case, if you're flipping or not, is huge. That's definitely better than IGD's ability.
It's also interesting, too, because in a pilot ability like this, where you're treating it as a different kind of maneuver, you still keep the same difficulty of the maneuver. So say if it's a green maneuver, it stays a green maneuver. So suddenly taking a straight, which is normally a green maneuver for you, becomes a 4 green K or a 3 green K or 5 green K.
That makes that white K turn look terrible.
Right.
Why would you take a white K turn when you could take a green K turn?
But again, this really plays to the strengths of the Defender's dial, having all those straight maneuvers. So I think this will be an interesting one. Pilot skill 5 is kind of a weird place to be competitively. It's a little better off now because we're seeing a lot of lower pilot skill ships.
Right. In the Fantasy Flight preview article, they were talking about push the limit on Countess Riad. And I'm thinking like veteran instincts or adaptability seem like a better option, getting that higher pilot skill, giving you more value out of the decision-making point of your dial.
Exactly. Because the higher the pilot skill, the better this kind of repositioning ability will be.
So our last new Defender pilot is actually not a new pilot at all. Merrick Steele makes an appearance in the TIE Defender now.
Merrick Steele, of course, being one of the first named pilots we ever saw in Wave 1 as a TIE Advanced pilot. He actually keeps his ability carried over from his TIE Advanced.
Right, so the same ability of when your attack deals a face-up damage card to the Defender, instead draw 3 damage cards, choose one of those to deal, and discard the others. And Merrick comes in at 35 points, same pilot skill 7, and has an elite pilot talent slot.
And immediately when I see this, I go, oh man, I finally have a place I can put calculation.
Definitely not marksmanship still, though. That's still a bad card.
I don't think we want to use marksmanship. A little overcosted, though maybe not on a TIE D, because when you use marksmanship on a TIE D, you're affecting both of your shots.
Oh, that is something I definitely overestimated there. Perhaps we might also see marksmanship again.
Reappearing, though I think calculation for a budget 1 point EPT is a pretty good play on Merrick.
And I was thinking you need to put Predator on these two guys to get modifications for both of your attacks with the cannon.
Also a viable choice there, definitely. I do like Merrick, though, because then you could run Merrick either with a cannon and then kind of play off of doubling up those shots with Predator or marksmanship, or you could run him with the TIE X7 title, depend on that evade token you're getting for free as your defense and spend that focus to convert a crit.
Although if you're running the TIE X7 title, I think Juke might be the better option. You're getting that evade token, might as well get to use that on offense as well.
And I think that's a viable play on either Merrick Steele or the classic Rexler Brath Defender at pilot skill 8. He comes in at a mere 37 points with the TIE X7 title and Juke.
37 point is too expensive. I want to be running 34 or 35 point defenders.
Keep them limited. So you really have some options here, though, with the defenders.
So a couple weeks ago, the TIE Bomber article came out, and we got to see the Gamma Squadron veteran, the pilot skill 5 generic TIE Bomber that costs 19 points, has an elite pilot talent slot along with their 2 torpedoes, 2 missiles, and a bomb slot.
I think the big thing here is the elite pilot talent slot coming in, because that allows you some more versatility in how you can pack out these ordnance carrying ships.
We've seen with the contracted scout the power of a elite pilot talent slot on these munition ships.
Yeah, so you can throw a Deadeye on there to make your munitions a little easier to shoot, and then maybe pair it up with a ship like Captain Jonas, another defender who can allow you to reroll on secondary weapons.
Right, get that extra modification. We also saw a Pilot Skill 3 unique pilot, Deathfire.
He's got kind of an interesting ability. He's one of these niche ships that I think fills in a category some players would like. His pilot ability reads, when you reveal your maneuver dial or after you perform an action, you may perform a bomb upgrade card action as a free action.
And he does not have an elite pilot hunt slot and costs just 17 points, so that's one more than your generic bomber.
One of the more recent, though, upgrade cards I think that are going to help the bombers out, especially now that Imperial Veterans is coming out, is the extra munitions card. Because before, your bombers could only actually carry a payload of one bomb. They only have one bomb slot on their upgrade bar. But now you can double that up, so you could throw two seismic charges on there or two proximity mines.
Yeah, it's too bad extra munitions is limited.
Yeah, or double it up a couple times. But still, they're a pretty cheap outlet for bombs coming in at low point cost, especially like the cheap generics.
And we actually haven't mentioned this yet. This is kind of old news, but the article also gave us the TIE shuttle title for the bomber, which reads that you lose your torpedoes, missiles, and bomb upgrade slots, and you gain two crew slots.
The limitation being that those crew slots have to be 4 points each or less. You can't throw Emperor Palpatine on a little TIE shuttle, unfortunately.
Or gunner, actually.
Or gunner.
So you can't do tactician gunner TIE shuttles.
I don't think I'd want a gunner on a bomber, though, with just two attack dice.
Well, with tactician, you're going to get that gunner trigger on your two attack die and double stress them.
That is true, but that is kind of an expensive platform to get double stress.
Although that's something the Empire can't really do. And they still can't because you can't put gunner on there.
But you do have some new interesting crew cards that you could throw on your TIE shuttle.
Yeah, we got the systems officer, an Imperial-only limited crew that reads, after you execute a green maneuver, choose another friendly ship at range one. That ship may acquire a target lock, and this is 2 points.
Just 2 points. It's actually a pretty aggressively costed crew card.
This is pretty comparable to the fleet officer at 3 points that for an action, you can give two friendly ships a focus token, and you get a stress token.
And at only 5 points total, you could put both of these on one of your TIE shuttles.
That is true. You do get two crew slots on your shuttle, and you could put both of them for a super support shuttle, setting up your other bombers
to let off their payload with that target lock focus combo. Pretty cool. You've also got another upgrade card they announced called Long Range Scanners.
Oh, yeah.
This one comes in at 0 points. It's a modification. And it says, you can acquire target locks on ships at range 3 and beyond. You cannot acquire target locks on ships at range 1 to 2. You can equip this card only if you have a torpedo and missile slot in your upgrade bar. An interesting choice, because I think a common problem bombers have is trying to get that target lock to fire off their ordnance. They have to get into the fight, and if they're getting a target lock, that means they're probably already in range of an attack. So they're not going to have another turn maybe to set up to get the focus to modify their attack.
And I like this 0 point cost modification. I mean, we saw how impactful guidance ships were at 0 points. The tough part is these things are filling a pretty similar role between guidance ships and long-range scanners. Mm-hmm. They both are supporting your munition alpha strike. Gosh, which one do you pick?
Which one do you choose? Guidance Chips is a great card for munitions. I guess it would depend maybe on how many munitions you expect to fire. If you're only trying to get off a payload of maybe one or two, you might prefer long-range scanners over Guidance Chips. Whereas if you've got a lot of ordnance to fire, you might want to go Guidance Chips because you're going to get more value out of that over time. It's hard to call, though. I think Guidance Chips is a pretty good card.
Right, and that depends on if you're doing munitions that have some built-in modifications like concussion missiles or proton torpedoes.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting call. I'm interested to see how this one falls in. One little interesting Easter egg about this is you can equip it on a fire spray only if you equip the Slave One title on that fire spray as well.
Giving it that torpedo slot.
The torpedo and the missile slot.
That's fun.
I'm interested to see if anyone does that too. I feel like there could be some surprising fun there.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that good, but it's cute. It's definitely cute. Oh, and we forgot actually one TIE Bomber pilot. The TIE Bomber pilot. We now have a Pilot Skill 8 Ace Bomber, Tomax Bren.
What's his pilot ability?
Once per round, after you discard an Elite Pilot Talent upgrade card, flip that card face up. Wow, that is a fun ability.
Especially with your favorite Elite Pilot Talent card, Carson.
Crackshot.
Crackshot. Every turn, you could trigger Crackshot.
Wow, that's better than increasing your primary attack value.
By one, canceling out that damage. The only problem is he is still a two attack dice ship. But if he gets in close, that could have some real impact in your game.
But we saw how impactful Lockdown is with making that two attack die hit with Juke. This is pretty comparable.
And it's a pretty cheap answer if you wanted to convert him into a TIE shuttle and have him do some support roles as well to make his offense a little more viable.
Or give him some munitions and make them hurt real bad.
Real bad. I still struggle with putting a lot of munitions on a TIE bomber, though. They are only 6-hull, 2 defense dice.
Well, that's why you just put Biggs in your list.
Yeah, right? I don't think you can do that here.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so a lot of new cool things coming out in this Imperial Veterans expansion. So we've covered most of the new content coming out from the expansion pack, at least the stuff that Fantasy Flight has released. So, Carson, you were thinking that we could talk a little bit about possible lists we'd want to fly with these new upgrade cards and ships.
Right. I thought rather than just tell you what the new stuff is, we might do some theory crafting of our own and show you how we think these cards might be used in lists.
So, Carson, why don't you start off with one of the lists you compiled today?
All right, so I called this list Locked Out. We have Colonel Vessery with the TIE D title, Veteran Instincts, Ion Cannon, and the Twin Ion Engine Mark II.
Which allows all your bank maneuvers to be green, and it's exclusive to TIE fighter type ships.
So this is a 40-point Colonel Vessery.
He's getting that double shot too, so TIE D allows him to fire with that Ion Cannon and then take a primary shot.
And then I paired Vessery with Omega Leader with Comrelian and Juke.
Nice, a classic build here, 26 points, we're seeing a lot.
Yeah, and you might see a theme here. We have Darth Vader with the TIE X1 title, adaptability, engine upgrade, and the advanced targeting computer.
Let me say, Carson, what I really like about this list right off the bat, especially with Vader and adaptability, is you have that option of if you need pilot skill 10 on Vader, you can use adaptability to bring him up to 10. And if you don't need it, you drop him down to 8, so he moves in any order. You can move your ships in any order at that point.
Right, and the nice thing about dropping Vader down to 8 is you can then get that crit in with your advanced targeting computer after your other two ships have taken shields away.
Which is pretty cool.
This list was built up to maximize Colonel Vessery's ability of when attacking immediately after you roll your attack dice, you may acquire a target lock on the defender if it already has a red target lock token.
So in order to use Colonel Vessery's ability, he gets the target lock after he rolls his dice, but he can then immediately use that target lock. It just requires that there's already a target lock on the defending ship.
So you need another one of your ships to have your target locked down.
So there's a lot of good synergy here between Darth Vader and Omega Leader.
So I picked the two ships that put target locks on their ship and don't spend them.
No, that's a great combo. And the awesome thing about the double shot with the TIE D title and the Ion Cannon is that you'll get to trigger that ability twice. So when you fire with your Ion Cannon, if the enemy ship has a red target lock already, you get a target lock to acquire and spend. And then when you fire your primary weapon, it still has that red target lock. You get to do the same thing over with your primary.
That was the idea.
I'm excited. I think the one maybe failing of this list would be the possibility that you don't have any ships with auto thrusters, which is kind of a staple of Imperial Ace lists. So that you're particularly susceptible to ships that shoot out of arc or can blast past you.
Right. So auto thrusters definitely gives you a huge edge, like in your late game against the jump masters after they've gotten rid of their torpedoes and are just using their turret primary weapons to try and get the last few points of damage.
Yep.
Auto thrusters really does shut that down. Whereas here I'm just relying on my 3 green dice.
And your attack power and potentially throwing out that ion cannon ion, which will allow you to control the movement and speed of another ship.
Right. This list's goal is to do more damage than your typical ace build.
Mm-hmm. With a small control element kind of between the ion cannon and Omega Leader. So Carson, you definitely favor the TIE D title. You're really excited about that one, I can tell.
Right. I just thought it had a lot more fun building options.
I am all about action economy. So I'm looking at this TIE X7 title, and I keep going back to Rexler Wrath. I love Rexler Wrath. He's not really been viable in competitive play for a while. He's got an amazing ability, but you never see it activate very much because you usually need to keep your focus token. Rexler Wrath's ability, of course, he's a pilot skill 8 TIE defender. After you deal damage cards, if you have a focus token, you can spend it and flip all of the damage cards face up, which can be especially vicious when we're seeing a lot of high hull ships like the Ghost right now. Where if you deal any damage, spend a focus, flip all of those cards face up. I think he pairs very well with a Juke title, which allows you, when you have an evade token, you can change an opponent's evade result into an eyeball result, either forcing them to spend a focus token to convert it back, or if they don't have a focus token, slipping that much more damage through. This pairs really well with the TIE X7 title. So not only are you lowering his point cost, when you perform a 3, 4, or 5 speed maneuver, you're getting a free evade. And since you're a pilot skill 8, you're probably shooting pretty early on in the cycle unless you're playing against really high pilot skill ships. But we haven't been seeing those as much recently. A lot of 8s out there and
below.
So I love this combination. He comes in at just 37 points with Juke and Tyak 7, and you're potentially getting both a focus and evade every time you move.
I get it, Tim. That's enough talk about Rexler. What'd you pair with Rexler?
I was looking at a couple options here. This one, I paired him with 3 Black Squadron TIE Fighters with Crackshot, along with Howl Runner, and this comes in at exactly 100 points. I like this kind of mini crack swarm. It's not quite a full crack swarm of 4 ships that can do crack shot or more, but you do have that slightly higher pilot skill coming in at PS4, so you're out shooting the triple jump master lists, and you've got Howl Runner there to provide rerolls. So I think this is a nice counter to the triple jump master list, as well as doing a lot of damage on the ghost lists that we see popping up. Because the more shots you get on the ghost, the more damage you're going to do with its 0 agility.
First thought here is, I don't know if you have enough pilot skill around the same level of Rexler, meaning he's probably going to be one of your first ship shooting, making his ability hard to trigger, getting damage cards onto the hull.
Definitely, especially in the early couple rounds. But when you're looking at later in the game, you can definitely spend that focus to convert things. And the other thing I want to look at is I'm not expecting to spend my focus that way early on. I'm expecting to just do attack shots to do damage and maybe keep that for defense on the first couple volleys.
Right. And to your credit, I don't think you take Rexler Brath to trigger his pilot ability on every attack. I think that's something that, ooh, when that happens, that's nice, but you're mainly taking him for that pilot skill 8 defender.
Well, and especially the defender with a white K-turn, being able to take the white K-turn, which is a 4-speed maneuver, so you get a free evade, and then you're also able to focus. If you can really play up the repositioning there, you might not have any shots coming back at you, in which case spending that focus to flip those damage cards up is obvious.
And that Howl Runner reroll does make it so you don't need to spend your focus to get the hits, so you can save your focus to deal the crits after you've dealt the damage.
And it makes a hard, these kind of lists make it hard for your opponent to decide which ship to shoot. They could shoot either the Howl Runner and possibly not do a lot of damage because he does still have 3 evade dice and he's probably taking that evade action. Or he could shoot Rexler, who probably has a focus and an evade, and it's really hard to do damage unless you're doing a lot of strong shots against him
in one
turn.
And even if you do some damage, you're not going to be taking that ship off the board right away.
I wouldn't expect you to.
So this list I called Snap, Crack Shot, Pop. you can already guess it's got my favorite elite pilot talent in there. All right, so
marksmanship? Oh, crack
maybe
shot.
Now. Maybe now marksmanship might be my new favorite. But
I see a lot of bombers here, Carson.
Yes. So this is playing up the other side of the Imperial Veterans expansion, the TIE Bombers. So I have 3 Gamma Squadron veterans. One of them has Crackshot, Proton Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, and Guidance Chips. Another has Crackshot, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, Guidance Chips. And the third has Crackshot, Plasma Torpedoes, Extra Munitions, Guidance Chips. So 2 of them are the same with Plasma Torpedoes, and one of them has Proton Torpedoes.
And of course, they all come in at Pilot Skill 5.
And then I also have Captain Jonas with the TIE Shuttle title, Adaptability, and the Systems Officer card.
So Systems Officer, when you perform a green maneuver, is allowing you to pass out a free target lock to another ship at range 1.
Right.
Combined with his Jonas's native ability to allow other friendly ships at range 1 to reroll 2 of their attack dice when they're firing with a secondary weapon.
Yeah, so Jonas is definitely just a support ship, allowing the other 3 bombers to do what they do, and that's a lot of damage.
So in this case, especially with that Gamma Squadron that has Proton Torpedoes, because Proton Torpedoes allows you to convert a focus result into a crit result. So combined with that, you can pass the target lock to that Gamma Squadron. He spends the target lock to shoot the torpedoes, and he still gets to reroll 2 dice and convert an eyeball. So you have a pretty high damage output, plus Guidance Chips also converting a result to a hit.
Yeah, and you can't support all of them. You could play around with this and cut maybe an extra munitions.
To include another systems officer?
No, it's limited, so you can only include 1. But you could include a fleet officer as your second crew choice. And actually, there's some pretty sweet synergy between the fleet officer and the systems officer. The systems officer triggers on when you perform a green maneuver, and the fleet officer gives you a stress when you perform the fleet officer action. So you get to send a target lock and 2 focuses, and then you're stressed, and next turn you do a green maneuver, allowing you to pass a target lock, and then you can do the fleet officer action again.
That's a pretty good combo. I like that. You wonder if that's why they named them both officer.
And with the captain looking over those officers, my thought, though, was that might be too much reroll with Captain Jonas's ability of giving you those rerolls also.
But it's an interesting list focusing on an alpha strike, and I think this one in particular would do very well against a triple jump master list.
Yeah, and here's another case where adaptability worked fine. I mean, you definitely want Jonas to be moving, not before the shuttles, because you want that target lock you pass to be at the last opportunity. Mm-hmm. But you still have the option of, if you're above everybody else, to bump them down to 5 and you have all of your ships at 5 again. And that's just sweet when all of your ships have the same pilot skill for maneuvering.
Especially if we start to see a lot of generics come back into play here, spamming out pilot skill 2, 3, and 4 ships.
Right, and I don't know if this list is going to be a take-all list, but it definitely looks like it can out-alpha strike the Jumpmasters, which is a fun place to be right now.
A lot of fun to try out, for sure. So the other list I built was still including that Rexler Brath with Juke and Tyak 7. I also threw on a twin ion engine, bringing him up to 38 points. But rather than go with the mini swarm this time, I opted for running the Inquisitor, kind of the typical build we see at 31 points with Push the Limit, the TIE V1 title, and auto thrusters. And then pair that with Darth Vader as well, with adaptability, TIE X1, twin ion engine, and advanced targeting computer. This whole squad comes in at 100 points. Again, playing to that strength of adaptability on Vader, with 2 other pilot skill 8 ships.
Right, so you can bump them up to a 10 if you have that ace matchup. Otherwise, bring them down to an 8, and they're all at 8s. I do like that you were able to include the twin ion Mark II engine on Rexler. I think that's a very important upgrade for the Defenders. It really opens up their dial, and it's only 1 point. Mm-hmm. If you have room, it's nice when you can make room for that.
The problem is I would have preferred to put an engine upgrade on Vader, but this is a point where I reached that I couldn't fit that into the squad with the point total. So I don't know how viable this is long-term, because there is something great about being able to boost and barrel roll with Vader's native double action ability.
It definitely is.
And again, this is the same problem I think that your ace list did, where I only have 1 ship with auto thrusters. So if I faced up against some turreted ships or some twin laser turrets, I would probably have a pretty rough time.
That being said, it also does have a high damage output. I mean, Inquisitor, Vader, high damage ships, and then you throw in that Juke Rexler, I think is going to do a lot of damage.
And it does screw with your opponent's target priority. It's hard to pick which one of these exactly you want to kill first.
Right, and the Defender is not your typical ace. It's not going to be dodging every shot. This is a durable jousting ship.
But if you ignore them too long, that 4K will get you.
Absolutely. They have a high positioning. It's just not your typical arc dodging strategy.
So these are just some of the squads we came up with. We're excited to try them out, maybe test them in advance, and then see how they play out when the Imperial Veterans actually launches, hopefully not too long from now. But if you guys have some squad ideas looking at all these new upgrade cards, please go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/radioTCX. We would love to see the squads you guys came up with and maybe start a little discussion there.
And this is an idea that we thought would be fun to do for preview articles, but it does not necessarily have to be limited to just preview articles. If you have an idea for some sweet squad restrictions to test our creative squad building, we just said, hey, let's each build some lists with Defenders and Bombers.
And if you have a squad that you'd like us to check out, please send it our way and we'll kind of throw our opinion out there. You could either send that in a message or post it on the Facebook page and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and maybe throw in a little comment about what you like about the show. Those reviews mean a lot to us, and they really help us grow the show and reach a wider audience.
Right. As the show is still growing, it really does help us get that boost on iTunes if you leave this review so new listeners can find us.
And a big thank you to everyone who's already left a review. We really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for helping the show grow.
So until next week, see ya.
Get out there and play some X-Wing. We'll